Amen. Our reading appointed for today comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. John 20, 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I'll never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Can we pray together? Father, we come now to the time where we open your inspired ancient text. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, for your written word. And we also give you thanks and praise for the living word in the person of Christ Jesus, who is risen. And Lord, we ask you to meet us today like only you can, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fall on us afresh. Fill us with faith. Lord, nobody under the sound of my voice needs to hear Bennett's words. Here today, gone tomorrow. But you, Holy Spirit, when you speak to our hearts, you awaken the sleeper. You form a heart that is soft from the heart that is stone. And you bring the dead to life. So Holy Spirit, come and have your way in this time. Father, I ask that as I teach this text, you would allow me to teach it with accuracy, and that as I preach the word, you would allow me to preach it with authority by the power of your Holy Spirit. And he who has ears, let him hear. I pray this through Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had an encounter with the risen Christ? When's the last time the Lord came to you and met you in your place of need and stirred faith in your heart? About this time last year, I was visiting home, visiting my parents, which, by the way, are with us today. I'm grateful for that. And I went by my dad's church where I used to work at, and I got to sit down and have a conversation with one of my dear friends who's a staff member there, Joanne. And Joanne and I started talking about how the Lord had been working in our lives. And I was asking her, "Joanne, what does that look like for you? How has the Lord been meeting you in your life? And how has he been working?" And she said, "Well," she goes, "I want to tell you actually about my small group leader." I said, "Oh, okay, tell me about that." She said, "My small group leader, great man, super spiritual, kind of one of those like mystical spiritual people. And he would talk about how he would go out on his lawnmower, and while he's mowing grass, he would have these encounters with Jesus. And I was like, that's awesome. And she's like, yeah. And then she said this, and this stuck with me. She said, but Bennett, where is Christ like that in my life? That's what I'm looking for. And I love Joanne's question. Why? Because for Joanne, she recognized that Christ is risen from the dead, that he's alive, and that he still meets us. He still comes to encounter us, that he comes to minister to us in our place of need. And she's just asking, I know he's done that for this small group leader, and I want him to do the same thing for me. When I hear Joanne's story, I see a lot of parallels with Thomas's story in our text today. And perhaps there's some parallels with your story as well. In our text, chapter 20 of John, if we're going to zoom out for a little bit and kind of give you the roadmap of how we get to Thomas, this chapter starts off Easter morning with Mary Magdalene going to the tomb, and Christ is missing, the body's missing from the grave, and there she has an encounter with the risen Christ. Christ meets her. And then she walks away full of faith, telling the other disciples, I have seen the Lord. Then our text picks up in verse 19 of chapter 20, and then we have all the disciples there minus Thomas, and the disciples are there, and Christ appears to them, the risen Christ, meets with them, shows them his wounds, and they walk away saying, we have seen the Lord. So they go to Thomas and inform him about this, and here's where we get Thomas. Doubting Thomas, as he's often labeled. He has heard about what others experienced. He has heard what others got to touch and see. And Thomas, he simply wants to experience the same thing that everyone else got to experience. Now listen to these words again. After hearing the testimony, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will never believe. Friends, as I've wrestled with this text, I believe Thomas is believing and hoping that Christ is risen. He's open to that reality. He's just wanting Christ to come and make his realness known to him. So we could put it this way. This is what I want to put before you as the main idea, that Thomas's story is not so much a story of doubt. I'd argue it's a story of faith that needs a little assistance. Just a little bit of faith, some openness, some hunger, some desire that the risen Christ would come and meet him. He's hungry for that encounter, just the embers of faith, whatever doubt we want to label him as, that even with the embers of faith, he is seeking, he is open, and he's asking for God to come and encounter him. Some might call it doubt, but I would suggest to us, friends, it's faith needing a little assistance. And let me ask you, who among us wouldn't want the same thing, right? Let's make it present tense. Who among us is like, if Christ is risen, I'm good. No. I want Christ to come meet me. I have needs. I know Christ wants to come and heal me of things and grow me in things. I want Christ to come and make himself known to me as well. Oh, would Christ give us the faith to do, to lean into that reality? And here's what I know to be true. In a room this size, I know there's some great saints in the room. I know there's some strong faith in the room. Any room my mama's in, I know there's some strong faith in the room. But here's what I also know to be true. Until we see our Lord face to face in glory, all of our faith in the room will need a little assistance. We all need that fresh encounter. We all need Christ, the risen Christ, to make himself known to us. So this morning for the message, I want to put this question before you. How might Thomas's story encourage those of us whose faith needs assistance? My faith needs assistance today. I'll preach it to myself. If you were saying, my faith needs some assistance as well, then this message is for you. A few ideas to encourage us today from our text. The first idea is this, that this isn't a story about the faithlessness of Thomas. It's a story about the faithfulness of Jesus. It's not about the faithlessness. We focus so much on Thomas, doubting Thomas. It's not about Thomas. It's about the faithfulness of Jesus. This story, John chapter 20, and all of the scriptures are a testimony, a witness to the faithfulness of God. In our text today, in our chapter, we see different characters. We have Mary at the beginning, like we talked about earlier. She comes to the tomb that morning in distress, weeping, trying to find the body of Jesus. She comes weeping at the tomb. She had a great need. And in that place of her heart, grieving over that Christ has died and grieving that where's the body and in distress and weeping, Jesus proves himself faithful and he shows up and he meets her in her place of need. And as Christ meets her, she encounters the risen Lord and she walks away full of faith, saying, "I have seen the Lord." And Mary Magdalene is the first carrier of that gospel good news that Christ is risen and defeated the grave, full of faith. Then we get to our specific text for today, verse 19. I'll put it up on the screen. Verse 19, we have the disciples, minus Thomas. They're hiding out in this room, doors locked. And it's interesting, the text says here that they were full of fear. What's their great need? They were fearful. And in their fear, Christ Jesus proves himself faithful, shows up to them in the midst of their fear, and notice, the word of peace is the first word he speaks. Peace to their fear. And after they have an encounter with the risen Lord, they walk away with great faith, telling Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." And then we get to Thomas. He just wants to encounter and experience the same thing that everyone else got. And also for Thomas, Christ proves himself faithful. He shows up. He meets Thomas in his great need. And there gives him faith to even where Thomas, when he leaves, "My Lord and my God." Faith arises once Christ meets him. We could put it like this. It's not the stirring of their faith that makes Christ present, but it's Christ's faithful presence that stirs up their faith. You see the difference there? It's not their strong faith that makes Christ present. Like maybe you come in here today like, "Man, I really need God to show up, so let me just try to muster up the faith. Let me muster up, Lord, come on." It's not their strong faith that makes him present. It's Christ's faithfulness, his own presence that meets them. And when Christ meets them, he gives them faith. Praise God. So I ask you today, friends, I wonder what great need you have in your heart today. Maybe you're like Mary, grieving over the loss of a loved one. Christ is faithful to meet you in that place. Maybe in a different way, we're like Mary, having wept tears and tears and tears over that situation that we're experiencing. Maybe we're like the disciples who are fearful. Maybe we've locked the door. Maybe we're like Thomas, who's just saying, "I just need to know that he's real. I just need to encounter him. I just want to experience him." Whatever great need you have today, brothers and sisters, Christ is faithful to come meet you in that need. And wherever Christ meets you, he creates faith. He stirs faith. We might have this tension, this, if we can imagine just kind of the contrast here. We might say, I have a great need. I have this great problem in my life that I'm wrestling with. And then maybe we look internally and say, but I have little faith. I'm barely holding on to this thing. Friends, the good news I come to bring you this morning is that the risen Christ comes to meet you in your need, not because of your faith, wherever it is, but because of his faithfulness. That's who he is. And when Christ meets you, he creates faith. May it be true in this room today that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living Christ, that Christ himself would come and meet you in your need and create faith. Second idea I want to put before you is this, that the end goal is not proof that leads to certainty, but belief that leads to life. You know, when Christ meets Thomas in this story, Thomas finally sees him, he encounters the risen Christ, and you remember what Jesus says? Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You see, Thomas got to experience something very special. The body of the risen Christ came and offered him his wounds. And he had the opportunity to touch. He had the opportunity to see. Thomas saw the sign in front of him. And we could say to some degree, like he walked away from this encounter with certainty. Like, my Lord and my God, I have seen the Lord. He knows for certain that Christ is risen. But what about us? Is your faith dependent on certainty? The story ends in verse 29, but then we get a little appendix at the end, a little kind of commentary from our author here in light of all of this. This is what it says in verse 30 and 31. I'll put this up for you. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Get this. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's the invitation I put before you, friends. That's the invitation of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not certainty, but life. And which one are you chasing? Which one do you want to pursue? When I was doing my study for this message today, I was reading back on some great commentaries, and I came across a beautiful one from St. Augustine, or Augustine, depending, you know, if you're from the South, it kind of depends how you say his name. But anyways, Augustine, he writes a beautiful little commentary reflection on this passage that we're talking about today. And when he writes it, he has us in mind. He has in mind all of the believers after Thomas, after the disciples. And here's what he says. I'll put this quote up for you. When, later on, the Lord had departed from human sight, and faith had had time to strike roots into people's hearts, those who believed in him made their act of faith without seeing him. The faith of such believers is highly meritorious, for it springs from a devoted heart rather than from an exploring hand. Faith, belief, life from a devoted heart, not from an exploring hand. Friends, I want to put two paths before you, two spiritual journeys, two faith journeys in Christianity before you. There's one that says, I need certainty. I need proof. Where's the evidence? And I'll come here to let you know that this is not a bad option. It's not an evil option. It's not a sinful option. But Jesus says there's one that's better. It's the faith journey that says, I seek life in his name. May it be said of this our worshiping body here at Church of the Cross, that we are a people who sought out life in the name of Jesus. Evidence is great, but we want the greater thing. We want life in his name with a devoted heart. May that be our prayer today. Final point I'll leave you with today is this. Bring to Jesus whatever faith you have and allow him to bring the increase. I wonder how much faith is in the room today. I wonder how much faith is in your heart today. If I could leave you with one application, one next step, I would implore you with this. Keep showing up to Jesus and bring all of yourself to him. Bring all of yourself. However much faith is in the room, in your heart, bring it all to him and let Christ meet you there and let him bring the increase. Now, there are many places, friends, where Christ promises his presence to us. Praise God. Whenever we gather as his body, the worshiping church, baptized in his name, wherever we gather in his name, he promises to be there in our midst. When we gather and we lift up praises, when we are singing from our heart, friends, Christ promises to inhabit the praises of his people. When we open the Holy Scriptures, it is the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who comes to be our lead teacher and to reveal to us the mysteries of the beauty of the gospel. And friends, let me also say, as an Anglican church, we believe that when we partake in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Eucharist, Christ's real presence meets us there. Father Nathan preached on this last week at Easter. He's had encounters with the risen Christ at the table. I've had encounters with the risen Christ at the table. I'm an Anglican. I'm here today because the Lord met me in the Lord's Supper. I want to mention two heroes in the faith of mine, John and Charles Wesley, two great Anglican priests from the 1700s. They were great Anglicans, and they recognized that our faith needs a little assistance sometimes. And they wrote a hymn book together, 166 hymns. And in these hymns, these are written almost like a prayer unto God. They teach us about God. Our music, our hymns, give us theology, our understanding on who God is and who we are in him. But sometimes our songs are prayers unto God. And I just want to share with you one of their hymns. And I want to invite us to make it our prayer today for those of us whose faith needs a little assistance. Here's what the hymn says, just one stanza of it. Our helpless unbelief remove and melt us by thy pardoning love. Work in us faith or faith's increase, the dawning of the perfect peace. I just want to keep this up here for a few minutes if we can. For those of us in the room today, who you come and you say, you know, Bennett, if I'm honest, I don't have any faith in the room, in my heart today. I don't bring any faith. I bring great need and no faith. Make it your prayer unto the Father. Father, would you work in me faith? Would you bring the spark? Would you bring the encounter? Would you bring faith into my heart? Would you change this heart of stone? Would you bring the sleeper awake? Father, would you work in me faith? Not me working it up, but you working in me faith. And for those in the room who say, I'm somewhere in there, Bennett. I have some type of faith, but I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still holding on. Make it your prayer today. Lord, would you bring in me faith's increase? I need some assistance, Lord. Would you come and stir inside of me? Would you bring forth, Lord, faith's increase? Friends, Christ is alive. He desires to meet you in your place of great need, not because of your faith, but because of his faithfulness. May we be a people hungry for an encounter, seeking him, open hearts to him, and trusting, Lord, would you come make yourself known to me? Increase my faith. I need a little assistance. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your faithfulness. For when we are faithless, you remain faithful. And Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the faithful one. And you come to us today through your Spirit to meet us in our need and to create faith. So Lord, I pray over this room, over your church, your bride. Father, you know our great need. Would you prove yourself faithful to us like you did to Mary, like you did to the disciples, like you did to Thomas? Would you meet us in our great need, Lord, and stir in us faith? Lord, I just pray for a heart of devotion, like Augustine said. Lord, the signs are great. The certainty is cool. But would we be a people who seek your life? Life in your name. May it be true for us. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you stand?